The Eclipse 500 gets known ice certification at last. The British government has cloned Chuck Schumer. And Northwest pilots agree on pay but not seniority. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 26, 2008. Eclipse Aviation announced on Wednesday the FAA has granted flight into known icing certification, or FIKI, for the Eclipse 500. The de-icing system on the 500 includes pneumatic de-ice boots on the wings and horizontal stabilizer leading edges, electrically heated windshield and air data probes, and bleed air heated anti-ice engine inlets. The certification follows 300 flight test hours using three test aircraft and includes 60 hours in actual icing across the U.S. and Canada. With the news from the FAA, Eclipse President and CEO Vern Rayburn says, quote, "We've proved that the aircraft can withstand known icing conditions in a real-world operating environment with no structural changes required of the airframe," unquote. But there will be a bunch of smaller changes required for planes in the existing fleet to make the upgrade. Eclipse says aircraft delivered starting late this summer will come equipped for FIKI. 500s prior to serial number 38 will need the larger tip tanks and other performance mods installed. The company changed de-icing boot suppliers starting with serial number 78, so planes earlier than that equipping for FIKI will need to be retrofitted with the newer boots. All the planes will require a rain-repellent coating around the static ports, changes to static bonding and discharge equipment including windscreen coatings, engine bonding straps, and new static wicks, a new autopilot pitch servo, and a new rudder centering spring. Eclipse says the needed mods will be done at no cost to owners, but scheduling them may take time. Eclipse's maintenance facilities already face commitments to retrofit the performance mods to earlier planes, as well as upgrades to the Avio NG avionics system. It appears the British government has its own variation on U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, who's become infamous among general aviation interests for pandering to public fears of small aircraft as possible terror weapons. Lord Carlisle of Beaulieu is the British government's anti-terrorism expert. In a 60-page report on Britain's susceptibility to a terror attack, Carlisle says private planes could be used to target buildings and calls for higher-level checks of aircraft flying from Europe to the UK. To be fair, there is one threat in the UK not faced in the US. Carlisle says an aircraft could land at an EU airport, then be regarded as a friendly plane when it crossed into British airspace, regardless of its true country of origin. But he also nervously counts an estimated 8,500 private aircraft in Britain, flying from 500 landing sites, some of them simple fields, and notes it would be relatively simple to organize an airborne attack using a small plane. He wants a government security bureaucracy created to monitor who uses British airports. As is the case in the U.S., general aviation groups point out that an SUV, like, say, the one used in the bombing at Glasgow Airport last year, is easier to obtain, can carry more explosives, and can move more easily without detection than a small plane. Unlike Schumer's rants in the U.S., Carlisle's dramatic scenarios are being met with public skepticism from within his own government. Home Secretary Jackie Smith notes Carlisle's observation that, quote, "There is no intelligence to suggest this forms part of terrorist thinking," unquote. She added, however, that the UK's Department for Transport will keep an eye on things and participate in, quote, "discussions in Europe of the possible security regulation of general aviation at the EU level," unquote. Management of Delta Airlines, which is making preparations to take over Northwest pending government antitrust approval, now has a common pay agreement for pilots from both airlines after the merger. Northwest pilots reportedly approved the deal on Tuesday. The Minneapolis-St. Paul Star Tribune notes, however, there's still no agreement on the more complicated issue of how seniority lists will be sorted. It's still an encouraging development because it suggests the pilot groups are motivated to resolve their differences. Aviation consultant Jerry Glass says it was in the best interests of the Northwest pilots to take the deal now, before deteriorating economic conditions make airline negotiators even tighter. Both pilot groups are represented by the Airline Pilots Association. ALPA President John Prater, Northwest Pilots Chairman Dave Stevens, and Delta Pilots Chairman Lee Moak have each pledged to resolve the seniority issue before the end of the year. If ALPA can smoothly integrate two workforces coming together in a merger, you'd never guess it based on recent experience with U.S. Airways and America West. Those two pilot groups were also represented by ALPA, and pilots for the old U.S. Airways were so dissatisfied with an arbitrated settlement they felt favored America West pilots that they formed and certified their own new separate union, the U.S. Airline Pilots Association, 2 months ago. USAPA began its own new negotiations with U.S. Airways yesterday. Union President Steve Bradford says, quote, "We believe it's time for management to complete the job it started 3 years ago and conclude the merger of U.S. Airways and America West. Although we are hopeful, we will wait and see what management does, not what they say," unquote. USAPA represents over 5,000 U.S. Airways pilots across the U.S. Up next on ANN, the Machinists Union says Hawker Beechcraft had a secret plot to open a Mexican assembly plant. Melbourne, Florida makes its deal with Embraer even sweeter. And make room for yet another LSA. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 26, 2008. On the web, you can find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The International Association of Machinists is trying to rally public sentiment for a protest against alleged plans by Hawker Beechcraft to establish a full aircraft assembly plant in Chihuahua, Mexico. The IAM says a five-year plan named Project Pelican includes detailed instructions on how the company planned to conceal the scope of the plan from the public, the press, and employees at Hawker Beechcraft's assembly plant in Wichita, Kansas. The union says managers were instructed to frequently mention global competition and a need for additional capacity other than Wichita, and were cautioned, quote, "never mention the potential of full aircraft assembly," unquote. IAM President Tom Buffenbarger adds, quote, "Hawker Beechcraft shows no recognition of the damage they do our economy, our industrial base, or our national security when they transfer sophisticated technology and production to countries that turn around and compete with U.S.-based companies," unquote. He added a parting shot at NAFTA and said the Mexican plant would be a huge issue at future contract talks. The company denies the union's claims, says it was clear on its intent to build a small parts plant which might employ as many as 650 workers in Mexico, and points out it has hired 1,200 people in the last year and is still looking for 700 more. Brazilian plane maker Embraer agreed in May to establish a production line for its upcoming Phenom 100 and Phenom 300 light jets in Melbourne, Florida, but city officials have voted to improve the deal still further. On Tuesday, the Melbourne City Council approved a roughly $1.25 million incentive package. That's its share of a total of more than $13 million in incentives, which lured Embraer to Florida. But the South Florida Sun Sentinel reports the council also added land clearing assistance and the promise of speedier permit applications, above and beyond what the company was promised. The new Embraer facility is projected to cost $41 million to build and create at least 200 jobs in the area, with an average annual salary of $50,000. TL Ultralight SRO recently completed the first series of test flights of its high-wing TL-3000 Sirius in the Czech Republic. The Sirius, like the company's low-wing TL-2000 Stingsport, is a two-passenger carbon-fiber fixed-wing airplane powered by the 100-horsepower Rotax 912 ULS. It'll be manufactured in versions for distribution in Europe and in the U.S. as a special light sport aircraft. Sport Air USA LLC will distribute the plane in North America. Company president and test pilot Jerry Tlusty reported the first Sirius demonstrated lively acceleration and responsive slow flight characteristics in its initial flights. Quote, our design and development team has produced a high-wing sport airplane that will be a worthy complement to the Sting, unquote. The SLSA version will be ready for the U.S. market in the first half of 2009. Max gross weight will be 1,320 pounds, or 1,430 on floats, with a useful load of 600 pounds and fuel capacity of more than 30 gallons. The cabin is 46 inches wide at the shoulders. The plane will include a ballistic chute, night and IFR capability, and offer a variety of panel options. Trio Avionics tells ANN the company will demonstrate its new ProPilot Autopilot, designed specifically for experimental and light sport aircraft, at AirVenture next month. The ProPilot includes all the performance and safety features of Trio's current systems, but in a single, compact, panel-mounted instrument. The system includes precise horizontal navigation capabilities and altitude hold, climb and descent capability, and altitude preselect. And it fits in the panel hole vacated by an analog turn coordinator. Pricing is $39.95. Deliveries are expected to begin in September. Still ahead, can the U.S. military teach the airlines how to save money? The U.S. Navy will test a new airship off the Florida coast. And a time warp pairs a Spitfire against a Red Bull racer. You are listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près de moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 26th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Comments made at the Oklahoma Aerospace Summit in Oklahoma City Monday make it clear that in their quest to find new efficiencies to fight rising fuel costs, airline executives are willing to look anywhere, no matter how crazy it sounds. Specifically, the Associated Press quotes American Airlines General Manager of Maintenance Paul Kreider as saying the airlines might learn about saving money by studying practices used by the U.S. military. Quote, "We do not need to fear best practices. The bottom line is we've got to do things differently," unquote. American is working with the Transport Workers Union to identify opportunities to cut costs in Tulsa, where the airline employs 7,000 people. American has bucked the trend by other airlines to outsource its maintenance and is actually looking to be a maintenance provider to other airlines. Victor Byrd, director of the Oklahoma Aeronautics Commission, said the private aviation business is in an age of painful transformation. Among his predictions, quote, "I think we will see mergers to the point that there will only be three legacy carriers," unquote. If you're a pilot planning to take Jimmy Buffett's advice and head for the Florida Keys this summer, keep an eye out for new traffic. The U.S. Navy, in coordination with the Coast Guard and the recently created National Office of Global Maritime Situational Awareness, is planning a six-week-long series of evaluations of an airship in a maritime surveillance role. The lighter-than-air platform will fly patrols up to 8 hours long to test systems and crew mission loading and fatigue factors. The Skyship 600 holds 240,000 cubic feet of helium, and it's capable of persistent surveillance, communications relay, data gathering, scientific monitoring and sampling, or test and evaluation of new equipment. It boasts a large cabin which incorporates a lavatory, consistent with its endurance of up to 52 hours. It should not be a challenge to see and avoid the ship off the Florida coast, but don't expect it to be able to dart out of your way. To celebrate the return of the Red Bull Air Race World Series to London this August, current World Series points leader Paul Bonhomme took to the controls of a 1940s Supermarine Spitfire this week to try his hand at air racing of a different kind. Bonhomme's aim was to test the speed and agility of the Spitfire against a modern-day plane designed specifically for the Red Bull Air Race. The MX-2 was piloted by his World Series opponent, Nigel Lamb. This year marks the 70th anniversary of the first production Spitfire and the 85th anniversary of the first Schneider Trophy race in the UK. That event was a speed race over 200 kilometers contested by the Spitfire's predecessor, the Supermarine S6B. The Schneider Trophy was first awarded in 1913. In a nod to the UK Schneider Trophy course, Bonhomme and Lamb raced their planes on a timed lap around the Isle of Wight, using the needles as a natural start-finish gate. The Spitfire's 100-knot top speed advantage got it around the course at just 9 minutes 35 seconds, beating the MX-2 by nearly 2 minutes. But as Lamb remarked, quote, "A Spitfire will fly a lot faster than an MX-2, but the advantage the MX has is its phenomenal turning ability, thanks to its carbon fiber wing and strength. In the Red Bull Air Race World Series, our aircraft need to be suitable for the precision moves required to navigate the low-level slalom gates. On paper, a Spitfire will clean up on the straights, and the MX will gain in the turns, so the lap of the Isle of Wight was more suited to Paul's plane than mine," unquote. And finally, given the strong emotions involved whenever U.S. President George Bush goes anywhere, it's understandable that security is tight. But the Associated Press reports Bush's last visit to the U.K. disrupted the travel plans of 40,000 airline passengers at London Heathrow Airport, and some are saying it didn't have to happen. Airport operator BAA confirmed on Tuesday that 32 arrivals and 36 departures, almost all British Airways flights, were canceled on June 15th and 16th. The company said, quote, "Despite our best efforts, some disruption did occur, for which we apologize to passengers affected," unquote. But British Airways CEO Willie Walsh said the disruption could have been avoided entirely. Quote, "The decision to allow President Bush and his fleet of aircraft to fly into Heathrow rather than a military base was one all of Heathrow's users could have done without. I am also angry that this was allowed," unquote. The good news? It was Bush's last visit as a sitting U.S. president. And at least he didn't keep Air Force One parked on the tarmac while he got a haircut. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation. Is it time to reimpose government regulation on the airlines? And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.